Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That is the voice of Scott Kaplan. George, Cappy's out of the studio today. Sonano's with us. Sonano, how are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Sure because good. I pulled a win out of my you-know-what.
I saw. Right there. I walked in as it happened.
I thought I was done. Now, okay, honest answer, Cap.
Yeah, because I watched the whole thing go down on YouTube.
Okay, honest answer, Cappy.
John doesn't care that you were watching on YouTube. Yeah.
Well, you look great today, John.
Did you watch the U.S. men's soccer game at any point today, Cap?
Of course. Watch the whole thing.
Sonano?
Yeah, I was watching the whole thing. Oh, I was listening to part of it because I had to pick up my daughter, but I watched the whole second half.
I found myself, and I couldn't tell you more than two guys on that team. I found myself riveted by it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why is that? Why am
patriotism.
Is it that simple?
Yep.
Well, not only patriotism, but who the U.S. was playing against. If this was the U.S. against England, that was exciting on Saturday, but this had a different feel to it. Am I alone on that?
The finality of it was, you know, if we lose, those guys get on a plane and come home, and then we all complain about why the men never win and the women always do. And even if they lose on Saturday to the Netherlands, I think the World Cup's been a success. You agree, George?
Yeah, well, for sure, especially with Pulisic getting hurt. I think that they have a really good young team. I think that, you know, I talked to somebody who knows this stuff way more than I do, and he feels that they can be a... They're the youngest team in the World Cup, right? So clearly this will help catapult them, in theory, to greater heights moving forward.
By the way, Pulisic has been diagnosed with a pelvic contusion.
Yeah, he got kicked in the nuts, basically.
Yeah.
Well, kneed in the nuts, basically.
That's how you say in polite company.
Well said, George. Yeah. Very well said. That's usually the kind of thing I would say, and everybody would be like, oh, come on, we have to dump you for that. That was very, very spot on.
I mean, it's the truth.
By the way,
he also tweeted out, or not tweeted out, somebody posted a picture of him in the hospital, and he says he's going to try to play on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. Tweet, Greg, from the reluctant hero. Wow. Ireland just bamboozled Bergman from Game of Games. He created the question, hit the nail on the head, not to mention the subjective question, how can Ireland be proud? Reluctant hero, you don't know me very well.
So
not only am I proud,
feel good about it.
I am going to lord it over Bergman until I win or lose tomorrow.
And then the field in the first quarter.
The loser will walk away in shame.
Did you hear Jorge?
You ran on the field in the first quarter. That's what
you
did.
Exactly.
Dude, you jumped out of your chair, man.
Yeah, I was the guy who was on the sidelines for the Seahawks that was the 12th man that ran on the field just for no reason.
So you're saying he cheated? Because the guy on the sideline cheated.
Well, he didn't get caught, did he?
Well, but you're getting caught.
Is it cheating if you don't get caught?
You
won. There you go.
Well, no, that guy was not subjectively cheating. He was actually cheating.
How concerned should I be about the Lakers' El Fuldo, the 17-point blowout in the fourth quarter yesterday? They were up 17 with about 9 minutes to go, and they allowed Indiana to score on 7 of their last 8 possessions. Big deal or little deal?
I don't think it's a big deal because I think this is who they are, right? Like, they're just not
they're a middle of the pack team right now.
Good team, yeah. Right. Yeah, they're average to below average. And we've seen that kind of play itself out now. You know, I joked with you yesterday. Yeah, if they play the Spurs, the next, 5 to 10 games, they'll be in great shape. But when they play a team that's got a little juice to them, they seem to be in trouble.
Do you guys think Anthony Davis took 2 shots in the fourth quarter? Is that on him? Is that on LeBron? Is that on Darvin?
It's everybody. Hamm? All 3 of them.
It's if we were doing a blame pie.
Uh-oh, here we
Andy.
Go.
Mm.
Blame pie.
I would say biggest. Well, at least Andy's here for the blame pie today.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You're stealing it in front of my face.
Yeah.
Well, it's an upgrade.
I would say AD, biggest percentage. And then I would say LeBron and Hamm, because at the end of the day, Hamm can say what he wants, but they have to execute it.
Cap, what do you think? Whose fault?
I'd rather say that last night LeBron should have stopped shooting and should have just fed the ball to AD. So in last night's instance, I'll have to go LeBron, but not by much, right over AD and then Darvin Ham. Because Darvin Ham, forget about him. It's between these two guys. They're on the floor together. Yo, I'm playing out of my mind. Give me the freaking ball. You're missing every shot. Stop shooting.
Andy, can I go off the board and say it's none of the above? It's the defense that they gave up 7 of 8 possessions down the stretch. Indiana scored.
They did, but they stopped
multiple layups.
That's a problem, but they also stopped scoring. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You can't have that.
And what they gave up, 32.
32.
Right? I hope they win tomorrow. I think this road trip coming up, by the way, guys, it's 6 games, and it's against all good teams.
Yeah.
And even the bad teams aren't that bad. Like, Washington's on this trip.
Yeah, they're
you see Porzingis score 41 yesterday.
Yeah, 29 at the half. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should beat Detroit.
Right.
Well, at the end of the trip.
Well, yeah, Detroit and maybe Washington, but the other games...
Are tough.
Like, you're going to beat the Milwaukee game,
yeah.
George, with me.
Yeah.
That would be their biggest win of the year if they could pull that off.
Yeah.
Then they go to D.C., which now all of a sudden doesn't look that easy. Cleveland looks hard.
Yeah.
Toronto on the second night of a back-to-back is hard.
Brutal. Yeah.
And then they finish up going to Philadelphia hard.
Yeah.
And then Detroit.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, acceptable record on this road trip?
2-4 is acceptable because you're anything above that is a surprise, to be honest
right.
with you. Right.
But isn't 1-5 or 0-6 like completely disastrous?
I would say 0-6 is definitely disastrous. 1-5, because to your point, like, Washington's might be better than them right now.
Right.
I think that Detroit is not. And that's why we were talking about, like, even though Indiana has a good record, they're not necessarily a great team. They're just a young team that's going to play hard. And you should still be able to beat those young teams that want to play hard, like Portland,
well,
for example.
I mean, by definition, you should be able to beat a team that you had down by 17 in the fourth quarter.
Well, that too. But I said before
the
game.
But I have a question for you guys.
What's your question, Cap?
My question is this. So for the winning that they just did, where people were starting to climb out from underneath this, they're dead and done, maybe there's something actually here, did last night's game change everybody's mind, or did it get you back to they still stink, they can't beat a quality opponent?
Okay, sit down and tell me what you think of this theory.
Yeah.
All right. They had a game earlier this year against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for New Orleans to lose this game, everything had to go right for the Lakers. New Orleans had to had a young kid who could have iced the game with 2 free throws with 3 seconds left. He missed them both.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers were down three. I'm sorry. He makes either one of those free throws, the game's over.
Right.
Then they have a complete defensive brain cramp and leave Matt Ryan, the best 3-point shooter on the team, alone in the corner, and Ryan hits a falling out of bounds
right.
three.
I remember.
They get it to overtime and they win.
Yeah.
Any objective fan, I see the world through purple and gold colored glasses, but any reason, you, George, would say the Lakers were very lucky to win that game.
Sure.
New Orleans should have won that game.
Right.
Last night, I think, was the payback.
Right.
I think that
That's
everything
fair.
Had to go right for Indiana, and yeah. it did.
It did.
And
by
so
the way,
I think in a long season, you're probably going to get a yin and yang like
sure,
that.
I don't think there's any question. But by the way, you saw him now up close yesterday. I told you yesterday Tyrese Halliburton's going to be an all-star for a long, long time.
I am now wondering how you guys, Sacramento could trade. I mean, it's Sacramento. They're the guys who drafted Marvin Bagley ahead of Luka.
Ridiculous. Like,
but,
what are you doing?
Well, George, we both like Sabonis. He's a good player.
But this is a perimeter-oriented league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Domantas Sabonis is not Joel Embiid. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not Nikola Jokic, for that matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a good player, but he's not going to be better than Tyrese Halliburton.
And De'Aaron Fox having a really good year in Sacramento, but you know, Halliburton's got better size.
And he's that better
and
defender.
Could have played Halliburton at the 2.
Sure.
And let De'Aaron Fox be the 1.
Sure.
My fantasy team thinks that he did get traded to Indiana, though.
Well, here's an amazing stat that I can't think if there's a comp to.
By the way, Trudell, sneaky little dictator in the fantasy league. He tried to trade me during the offseason, Kyle Kuzma for Tyrese Halliburton. And I said, I was like, bro, Tyrese Halliburton is probably going to be a top 10 fantasy player.
You know who would have done that
What's
trade?
Wrong with you? Mace.
Yeah.
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 Tyrese Halliburton last night had 24 points, 14 assists, and no turnovers.
He's 3 straight games with no turnovers and double-digit assists.
Okay, so you know what that adds up to? 40 assists
yeah.
with no turnovers. turnovers.
He's incredible, dude.
And you know, George, he shoots set shots.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last guy who did that.
He's an old school kind of player,
man. In other words, when I say set shots, when he shoots threes, he doesn't jump.
No, like Antoine Walker is probably the last guy that you could think of.
Andre Miller.
Yeah. Andre Miller's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Antoine Walker did the tippy toe.
Yeah.
He got to the tippy toes. He didn't have heels down.
Andre Miller was totally flat footed.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm gonna take a left turn here.
Okay.
Nice. Do it.
So I was watching.
Yeah, because Cappy was not adding anything to Andre Miller.
I even said in the YouTube chat, I'm like, I'm laying out of this. You guys can,
right,
can go
Cap,
deep.
I can come to you on this. Last night I watched The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Mm-hmm. Is it the last one?
Not yet.
Okay.
Getting there.
Last night you watched this?
Yeah.
On Real TV?
On
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
Yeah. Not his a streaming
guest,
service.
His guest was Will Smith.
Oh, mm-hmm. I saw the clips. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Me neither.
Do you guys think, I'll start with you, Cap. Are people going to go? Will Smith was promoting a movie called Emancipation.
And by the way, he's probably going to be nominated for an Oscar because now will they do it actually? Because, yeah. But the movie warrants it.
By the way, if he gets nominated, can't go. He's banned for 10 years.
Here's the thing. If the Academy really wants to punish Will Smith,
they don't even nominate him.
No, they do nominate
him. And he wins. And
don't let him go because that guy loves attention. He loves being at the center of all the spotlight.
He might win.
No, I know somebody who worked on the movie, and it's supposed to be
I saw the trailer, and it's like, wow. No, just the trailer blew me away.
Yeah, he doesn't even look like Will Smith.
No.
And I mean, Antoine Fuqua was the director.
Right.
He's really good.
Oh, he's incredible.
He did the Lakers Hulu documentary.
Yeah, and he did something
Training
before
Day.
That.
Training Day.
Yeah. He's a very good director.
Yeah.
Do you guys think people are ready to forgive Will Smith?
Cap isn't, that's for sure.
Well, nope, I'm not.
Bergman, for example.
Wait, no. Cap, you said you would forgive him if he did one thing.
Yeah, if he comes on the show.
That is so good. Yeah, that is. You know what?
I mean,
if I was Will Smith, I'd do it.
Right. I mean, at least just come on the show. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
I just love your honesty, man. That is so great.
I represent the team Chris Rock. And for those of us that will not see Emancipation, simply because it's a Will Smith movie, because we're still in the middle of
Stop! What? If Will Smith had not done anything to Chris Rock, you would still probably not see Emancipation. Because you don't go to see the movie, you don't go to a movie anyway, or you don't watch movies anyway.
George, you're killing my whole vibe here. Right now, okay? All I'm saying is that I will not see Emancipation because I'm still on Team Chris Rock and not satisfied with any nonsense apology.
I remember one time Mason and I were talking, and this was on the air, and Mason goes, "We can't talk about Trump anymore. He's too divisive. We can't talk about Trump. Don't bring it up anymore." And I said, "Well, what if Trump agreed to come on the show?" Mason goes, "Well, that's different."
if he wants on the divisiveness,
if he wants
that's
to
different.
Come on the show and face me, I'm going,
Cappy likes to tweet at these guys to try to come on the show. That's like his.
Has it ever worked, Cap?
Not really. Not really. Like if I were to tweet at Will Smith and be like, "Yo, man, I was a really big fan. I used to get jiggy with it. I'm down with Miami."
Although, you know, I will tell you this. Is Lindsay here yet?
Yeah, she's back there.
Hey, Linz. I'm going to screw this story up, so step in and correct me when I do. Lindsay had a friend who tragically passed away, but at a time when he was sick and fighting cancer, didn't you like randomly tweet The Rock and ask him to do a video for your friend, and he did it?
I didn't tweet him. I actually like reached out to his PR guy, but he did do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was just like a cold call from Lindsay saying, "Hey, I've got this guy." And The Rock, this thing that he did for this guy, your friend's name was Matt, right?
Yep. Matt Lodi.
Yeah. So it was like the most heartfelt, cool thing. Like, Lindsay, whatever you imagined he might do, it probably far exceeded it, right?
It was the nicest thing that anybody, especially of like that celebrity status, could ever do. The fact that he took, and it wasn't just like a generic like, "Hey man, wish you well." Like, he like picked out things from this email that I wrote and like made sure he identified with him, and it was just
like
it was
2
awesome.
Minutes of motivational, like, "Hey man, I know you're fighting, and I know you feel like crap, and your friends have told me that you've been in this battle for a really long time. I'm just here to tell you, you can do it."
Right.
It's
the world's greatest cameo.
Yeah. It was. And Lindsay, for no pay or anything, he just did it to be a good guy.
No,
right?
He just did it out of the kindness of his heart. I sent an email to his PR guy and just said, "He's going through a really tough time right now. Like, if you have any, like, words of wisdom, encouragement, whatever, and he sent the whole video. It was amazing.
And so, Cap, this is my long way of saying you're these random tweets you're sending out that Sonata's making fun of you for, it when one of them comes home and works, that's when you have
my favorite part of this, though, is imagining Cappy tweeting at Will Smith, who's not on Twitter.
Laura. That's funny. Laura, though, Laura actually had a great idea. We should cameo Will Smith and see if he'll apologize to Cap.
Oh.
If he did, Cap.
Does he have a cameo?
Does he have one? That's the question.
Cap, does that check the box?
Oh, big time.
If we get some time of audio or video apology to you, you will then go see Emancipation?
Even if it's paid for?
Yes. Yes, listen. I want Will Smith to say on cameo, yo, Cap, I know you were a big fan. I know my slapping Chris Rock has turned you off. I sincerely apologize to Chris Rock and get back on my train, dog. If he says something like that.
Dog?
Throw in the dog, please. If he were to say something like that, all could be forgiven between Will Smith and me.
In case you can't tell, there is more of this nonsense coming up for the next 3 hours, and I, for one, can't wait. I'm so encouraged by this Supercross talk.
Wait, you're not going to listen to the Pardon the Interruption podcast today?
I will skip PTI and listen to you two on the way home. That's how strongly I feel
there
about that.
Will Smith is not on cameo. There's a Will Smith lookalike. Will that work?
No, but I would get closer to going to see this film.
It's only $60 for the Will Smith lookalike.
You shouldn't have done that. You should have just paid the $60.
You'll never get back.
You should have just paid it and just said, hey, this is the real Will Smith.
He's like, okay, Cappy. Yeah, just not wearing makeup. Right.
Jada Pinkett is on Twitter. Like, what if you could get her on and have her apologize?
Wasn't she the cause of the problem? Yeah.
Sure, but what if she would apologize on behalf of Will Smith to you?
No, it needs to be Will.
Nope.
Yeah, I definitely should have gotten the Will Smith lookalike. You're right.
Sonata and Cap coming up next. Thank you, Andy. Sure. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Bergman wants me to read something that I don't think
we'll get to on the other side, Ireland. New college football playoff top four. We'll tell you where USC is.
Really? Excellent. Yeah. Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long, is the sponsor of Super Crosstalk. Sonata and Cap is next, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
Bing, ba-da-bop, bing, ba-da-boop, doo, da-da-da, bing, ba-da-bop, 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 bing, ba-da-bop, bing, ba-da-bop, boo, ba-da-boop, dee, da-da-da.
I just hear you, like, kind of going along with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, I'm just letting you do the drums today. Right.
Dude, you're having a great hair day.
Am I? I don't feel like I'm having a great hair day. I didn't even wash my hair today.
Yeah, looks very...
Your boy didn't wash his hair.
Man, looks very, put together.
I am wearing a Team USA soccer shirt, though.
Nice.
In honor of the U.S. men's national team.
Wind tunnel tested head, though, over here.
Yeah, so...
Nice jersey.
Thank you. But it's kind of chilly today, so I'm wearing the jacket. But the and also the jersey's way big, so I have to wear a jacket anyway.
God, like, what a game today. Wasn't that amazing?
It was a great match, yeah, absolutely.
God, I mean, like, for somebody who doesn't watch soccer all the time, you know, but only gets into it at World Cup time, like, I don't wake up on Sunday morning and watch the Premier League.
Yeah, so you didn't watch the LAFC is what you just admitted to.
Yeah, all season long I didn't watch, which is why.
Not even the championship?
Well, no, I watched the championship game, but don't you recall? I said I wasn't going to go to the championship game. I thought it was rude. If I didn't go to any game the whole season, I'm going to just show up at the championship game? That's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been fine.
Well, anyway, when you don't watch soccer regularly, but you get into it at the World Cup, soccer, unlike football, I guess maybe kind of like baseball a little bit, you're just sort of sitting on the edge of your seat at all times. Like, I have no fingernails. I'm just sitting here munching on my fingernails.
I mean, imagine if you watched it, like, all the time. Then you would have literally no... You may be down to nubs.
Yeah, I don't know. But you see, that's just it. I don't really know if I were like a hardcore LAFC fan, how I would feel about LAFC or any MLS team versus how I feel about America, you know? And this
America.
Game, George, right, was it me? Tell me if it's just me, because I tend to be a little dramatic at times. I know that's hard to believe. I know, it's a little hard to believe. But was today's game, wasn't it bigger than just some game in the World Cup because of who we were playing?
I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there's a lot of implications there. Sure, there's a lot of people here in this country who are protesting things are going on in Iran. So, yeah, I think that it is bigger than that. Yes.
Right. And I don't know if you read that piece today in the LA Times about what these Iranian soccer players are going through, like the threats to their family if they do anything, that they misbehave, you know, if they have any sort of protest.
Course. I mean, that right? Yeah, that's part of the problem, you know what I
right.
mean? Like that
yeah.
in certain countries, you know?
Right. And then people in Iran, this is according to the reporting in the LA Times, they're all upset because the players have to go to the government's, you know, White House, if you will, and kiss the government's ass. And then everybody over there is like, wait a second, we don't like those guys, but we love you guys, but now you're kissing their ass and we don't like that. And now they're like mad at their team, but they love their team. So like there's all this crazy emotion in advance of this match. And then we come out,
sure.
dude, and we just play our asses off.
Yeah. No, they played great. They played great offensively. They were very aggressive. Iran, particularly early on in that match, was trying to just kind of play for a tie. It was very obvious. And defensively, they did a nice job early on. And the U.S. had its opportunities. I was starting to wonder, oh, no, is this not going to happen? And then obviously late in that first half, Pulisic was able to get that goal. And at what cost, right? Like, he says he's going to try to go on Saturday. But, man, it didn't look good when he couldn't play in the second half. And then he was taken to the hospital. So,
yeah. Tell you what, you talk about sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know? And guys talked about it after the game, but you know it would have been anybody on that team would have sacrificed the way he did. But you know that's going to be a head-to-head collision, and there could be some pain. Little do you know you're going to get really injured.
Right.
But man, what a goal. Listen, the U.S. in the first half was so aggressive.
I have not been a huge fan of their coach, Berhalter. I feel like I don't feel like he's a great coach. And look, we're going to have Dave Demholm on at 4:45 to talk about this a little more in depth. And Mike Trudell is going to join us. Mike Trudell, for those that don't know, I mean, I know you know him from Laker lore, the best sideline reporter in the business. He's going to talk Lakers with us, but he was also a Division I soccer player. He is passionately watching the
World
Cup. Where
did he play college soccer?
Northwestern.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, Big Ten.
My Pitt Panthers beat up on Northwestern last night on the basketball floor.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll have that to tell
They're not
him
so
about.
Great at basketball. But nonetheless, they have made the tournament, I guess, with Chris Collins. But if you look at it, I've not been a big fan of Berhalter and what he's accomplished. But he had Aronson in there, obviously, when Pulisic went down. Aronson's a great counterattacker. So I think that because he plays for Celtic, and that's kind of their style. So I think that helped. And I think in general, like he did a lot of really smart things, I think, today.
Yeah, I don't watch it like that, George. I got to be honest with you, man. And even when they scored the goal, the guy who started it, is it McKinney, who's the captain?
Yeah.
And then he hit it over to what's the guy's name that had the header that sent it across? See, I don't know who these guys are. Like, I just know it says USA. But then I find out these guys, all three of them, play on teams, I think, in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So they're all like major international real guys.
Yeah. Oh, and my bad. I meant when the substitution when he had Cameron Carter-Vickers. That's who plays for Celtic. Aronson plays in the MLS. Sorry, my bad.
So, yeah, this is actually, I was reading this today. I didn't know this. This is the first time the U.S. team has put a World Cup starting 11 out on the field in probably the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 20 years that doesn't have an MLS player in it. I mean, all these guys who are
playing,
so young.
Most of them are playing overseas, yeah.
Yeah, they're all international types of players.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's great that we've gotten to this point. And I know everybody is now telling me, well, this is where it ends. There's no chance after this. I mean, you got lucky, you broke through, but you're done. Why is that?
Because the Netherlands is really good. And Pulisic may not be able to go.
Okay, so the Pulisic factor, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
But how much better should we? I mean, are they 7-0 better? Are they 2-1 better?
No,
are they 1-0 better?
I mean, they're just better. I mean, I don't know, in a given match. Yeah, I mean, probably
England was supposed to be so much better, weren't they?
I get it, but it's also, this is now the knockout stage. This is a different kind of deal.
George, let me say this to you. You ready? Let me say this
to you.
Go
ahead.
And I want everybody
who's
listening.
You're going to say this to me, right? Go ahead.
And I want everybody listening to join me. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here comes George. Yeah. Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan back in the day.
Yeah.
USA. 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 We can do this, George. We can freaking do this, man.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta believe, bro.
I believe that we will win.
You can do that.
I believe that we will win.
You can do that.
I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win. Yes.
Yeah.
You gotta believe, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just be like, oh, the Netherlands are better.
I mean, they are.
I don't know that.
I mean, they are.
Well, this is the beauty of not watching soccer until it's the World Cup.
Right. But, I mean, in a one-match scenario, crazy things can happen, yes.
USA.
Yeah.
USA. God, it was great today.
Right.
Sitting on the edge of my seat, biting off my fingernails. If you're watching on YouTube right now, look at these things. They're disgusting.
Right.
Need a mani and a pedi.
Mm-hmm.
But my feet are so gross that I don't even want anybody to touch them.
Yeah.
It's not really my left foot. It's clean, but it's my right foot.
I'm looking at the FIFA rankings right now. I just wanted to look them up. The Netherlands is the 8th best team in the world this year.
Where are we?
We're 16.
Okay. See, that's not so bad.
I mean, it's not close.
A lot of times a 16 will upset an 8. Doesn't that happen all the time?
I mean, I don't think so.
No? Is that not a common occurrence?
I don't think an 8 and a 16 play very much.
No, they don't play?
Even in the NCAA tournament, I don't feel like they
really
play very much.
Really? I mean, well, is that like a 5-12?
It's only happened... there's only a 16 that's won one, so that means to play at 8, they would have to advance.
Yes, but remember, George, that 16 that won beat a 1, not an 8.
I understand, but my point is that the matchup, I don't believe, has actually ever happened. I could be wrong, but...
We're going to win.
Okay. I mean, I hope so.
We are going to win, George.
I hope so, Cappy.
This is fun. I like the World Cup.
Now you like soccer.
No, I love soccer.
Yeah.
I love the game. Yeah. I just don't follow it consistently. You know? And I'll tell you something right now. Any mom or dad out there would know exactly what I'm talking about if your kids played soccer. You got a 1-0 lead. You're into the extra time. You don't know how much time is on the clock. Only the referee does. Mm-hmm. The linesman's running up and down the field, and you're a parent sitting on the end of the field going, how much time? How much time? 4 minutes! Come on, guys! We got 4 minutes! Let's go! And all you're thinking is, we got to finish this game. We got a 1-0 lead. We got to finish this game. 2 minutes! Come on, guys! You get down, there's like 30 seconds, and the other team scores, ties the game, and ruins your entire tournament. Can't tell you how many times I've been on the sidelines when that's happened. So I was sitting there today going, don't give them a chance. And when the ball got through and went through the goalkeeper's legs and then got cleared at the last second, I was like, no!
Is that how you reacted?
Yes, I'm sure everybody reacted that way.
Yeah, I mean, the last several minutes particularly, first of all, when they said it was 9 minutes of extra time, I feel like everybody was like, you got to be kidding me. That's like an extra match, basically.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Guys were gassed.
Yeah.
Guys were giving everything they got. You know who's probably the happiest person today or happiest group of people today about the USA winning?
The Lakers?
Yes.
Because we're not talking about them at least to start the show?
George, you are reading my mind.
Right.
Good God, man.
But you know what? Because of that, we're going to talk about them next.
Oh, okay. George, you know, your boy Beto Dudon, the ultimate stirrer of you-know-what,
yeah,
is currently making an appearance inside the Sedano and Cap live chat on YouTube. If you use our YouTube channel, ESPN LA, you'll see what a kind of a phenomenal hair day George is having. You get to see me in my my home setting, if that's interesting to anybody. Lindsay and Laura, I'm sure, will make an on-camera appearance before long. But Beto is already stirring it up in the YouTube chat. So I strongly urge people to get involved.
Okay, there you go.
It's a public service announcement.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
By the way, I have changed things on the circle of trust.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Yeah. Because we're starting to get, you know, Elon was supposed to do away with all the bots and all the spam and all the stuff. There's more than ever now. Now there's more than there's ever been.
Yeah, but I saw your tweet where you're like, yo, is everybody getting spammed? And I'm not. So
yeah, no.
What are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
We get 10 of them a day at least.
Yeah, easily. You're just not paying close attention. Well, I'm getting rid of them as I see them. That's why you're probably not seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a bunch of other people have responded that they are seeing them. So I have now made the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust a permission. You have to be granted permission to enter. Again.
Oh, you didn't have to before?
Nope. I left it open, and then that's when the bots attacked.
Because of Greg. Yeah. Remember, we let him in because he opened it.
Right. Oh. It was for Greg back then.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have relinquished that right, and now you have to ask for permission again, basically. But
you're right. It really is ever since Elon Musk bought it that it's been really bad. Like, the last, like, 2 weeks, couple weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something going on with the word official underneath anybody's
name
on Twitter?
It's official as opposed to just so that they just put that on there so that way you're not fooled by a fake.
Yeah, it's like you're verified for real.
Yeah, so like, are we all verified for real?
We're not official.
I'm not official.
So I'm not official.
It's only for brands and political entities.
Correct.
Okay, well, I'm neither of those.
Right.
I do occasionally make political statements here on the show, but every time I build it up as a big political statement, it's all, you know, some kind of goofball nonsense. So it's not real political. George, you said you were going into the Lakers because they should be very happy today that we didn't start by talking about them because the U.S. men's national team beat Iran number one, Pui USA. You said you wanted to get to the Lakers. What do you think?
I do. I don't even know where to begin with them because I was watching that game, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know, they're up big, right? So I'm kind of like watching, but I'm like kind of doing other stuff, like reading stuff on my iPad and just kind of like, and then I'm looking up and I'm hearing Billy Mack, like, you know, say, oh, Indiana with another score. And it's just like, and I look up and I'm like, wait a second. Now this is like a single digit game. Mm-hmm. Now you've got my full attention again.
Mm-hmm.
And
had the same experience, by the way. I'm literally sitting there and I'm playing on my phone and I'm like, it's 101-84.
Right.
There's 9 minutes and change to go in the game.
Yeah. Now, look, 20-point leads get blown a lot in the NBA, but they generally don't get blown in the fourth quarter. Okay. That's how I would describe it from the beginning. Okay. It hasn't, while 20-point leads get blown out or blown up plenty now in today's NBA because of the three ball, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't happen like that. And I believe the number is, I want to make sure I have it right, the Lakers were 347-0 in their history when leading by 17-plus points in the fourth quarter over the last 20 seasons entering
Did you
tonight.
Say 347-0?
Correct.
Keep going with that one more time?
When leading by 17 or more points in the fourth quarter over the last 20 seasons.
That's unbelievable.
Regular season and postseason.
That is unbelievable.
By the way, truly
incredible.
There's a more of an anecdote. They were the only NBA team that had not lost a game in that situation over that time.
You have the greatest player of the generation.
He's 37,
back healthy.
38 years old, bro.
I know.
Like,
and you have
but you say I know, but you don't really comprehend
What I'm saying, but it's just hard to believe that whether
well,
he's 37
it.
Or 27.
No, there's a huge difference between 37 and 27.
But with the name alone,
okay.
LeBron James of the Lakers, 347-0 in 20 years, and this team loses, went up by 17?
Yeah.
Terrible.
My guy, I've been trying to tell you all season that
I love when you call me your guy. That's so cool.
Like I've been trying to tell you all season for all the stuff I get about. I defend him all the time. I've been telling you all season he's getting old. Like
old
I have.
Old man LeBron.
He's an old head by his own admission.
But you know the issue I see is that LeBron says AD should be the one, but in crunch time last night, why is everybody not directing the ball to AD?
Why
next
is AD
to the basket?
Why is AD not demanding the ball?
And another great question. And it really gets back to a big debate we had on the show a few weeks ago, which was, can AD be the one with LeBron on the floor? With LeBron not on the floor, he has proven. I mean, he had those games where
he also proved it with LeBron on the floor on Friday.
Fair point. But in last night's game, why is AD not saying, LeBron, you keep telling the world I should be the one.
Right.
You're cold, bro. Like, you've gone cold. Please pass the ball to me. I'm asking nicely.
Why don't you ask him to like that question? Why isn't he being asked that question?
LeBron?
No, Anthony Davis.
Oh, because I wasn't at the press conference last night, so I was unavailable to ask that question.
Okay. I was just going to say.
But if I were there.
Yeah.
AD, over here. over here. Yeah. Scott Kaplan from the Sedano and Cap Show on 710. How you doing, my partner?
By the way, if you did that like during a regular, like people do that like during the playoffs, right? Like they get, you know, they get told to say their affiliation or whatever. Right. But if you did that during the regular season, that would
How bomb would that be?
It would get a chuckle, no question about it.
AD.
The room would get a chuckle for sure.
AD over here.
Yeah.
Scott Kaplan.
Yeah.
Sedano and Cap, 710, ESPN. Yeah. Everybody would chuckle like, that's what he looks like?
Yeah.
Really? Like he's showing up to ask a question after the game? Yeah. AD, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why are you not demanding the ball, my man? My dog.
And you would drop him on my man, my dog?
My man for sure. My dog might just blurt out. I like the way you just used my guy.
Yeah.
My guy. Why are you not demanding the ball now?
Well, but there's that.
Okay,
that's the macro. We can have that discussion throughout the show today. But can we do the micro for 1 second?
Okay, go micro on me.
Okay, let's just go to that final play. Okay, that final play was a complete unmitigated disaster. A scramble from the beginning for one reason and one reason alone. And LeBron, to his credit, did not call him out on it. But I watched the press conference, he omitted his name, okay, when talking about that play.
Okay, tell me.
Russell Westbrook completely blew the assignment on Miles Turner, which is why he got that wide open look, which then set everyone into a scramble. Long rebound. Tyrese Halliburton gets the rebound. He's beating his man. Anthony Davis has to help. Because Halliburton's going to have probably a layup at the bucket. Then he leaves Ben Mathurin. And Mathurin is now open under the bucket, so LeBron has to rotate to avoid another easy layup. So they're able to do that. And then Halliburton, because he is in-freaking-credible, and I almost cursed, he is in-freaking-credible at his age, he was able to put a perfect, and I mean perfect pass, right in the shooting pocket of Andrew Nembhard in a place where, If that pass, Cap, okay, and I know Laker fans don't want to hear this because it's like, oh, the Lakers lost. Why are you talking about the Pacers? Let's just talk about for a second how good that other team was in that particular instance, okay? If that pass is an inch or two to the left or the right or up or down even, a couple of inches, that shot may not get off in time because he shot it with he made it with 0.4 seconds. So this is like literally, you know, hundreds of seconds, okay? And by the way, if it's a little off target, LeBron, despite being all the way at the bucket with Ben Mathurin, may still have a shot to actually contest that thing, but he didn't, all because that one singular play that, and it wasn't the only reason they lost, but it ended up being the nail, you know, the dagger, for lack of a better phrase. Was because Russell Westbrook's defensive assignment was completely off where he needed to be. He completely misplayed that.
I agree. It's all Russ's fault, I think.
There you go. This is exactly what you do. You take all that nuance that I just gave you, and you literally just say, oh, it's all Russ's fault. When I literally, the first words out of my mouth before I tossed it back to you were, it's not the only reason they lost, but on that singular play, he completely blew his assignment.
Yeah, Brody was having a night, wasn't he? He was playing so well.
He was playing well.
He was dancing around
until like
big smile on his face.
You know what?
Happy.
After that dance, didn't he have like three turnovers after he danced in the fourth quarter?
I mean, he had several different dances. He had big smiles on his face. Brody was having fun. But then Brody became Russ in the last play, and to your point
before,
of all the nuisance.
He's turned the ball over a couple times.
But again, listen, when we talk about Anthony Davis and LeBron James, if Anthony Davis is supposed to be the one, then he should be, to your point, demanding the ball. If LeBron James is ready to defer to him, then LeBron James should do everything he could to get him the ball. LeBron got ice cold and continued to shoot. And Anthony Davis, I don't know what it is. I have an idea of what it is. You guys all disagree with me, and that's okay. It's very hard to be the one when the one is on the floor, even if he's 37 years old.
Right, except it worked on Friday.
Okay, so it did. But in crunch time last night, when you have a 17-point lead, why did it not?
Okay, it did not because Anthony Davis and everyone, by the way, all five guys were floating on the perimeter from a good chunk of that late in that fourth quarter.
It's unbelievable that this team could have a 17-point lead at home, be desperate for every win they can get their hands on, be playing against nothing other than a mediocre team with two guys, by the way, who've been rumored to be traded to the Lakers since last season, and they fall apart in 10 minutes by 17 points. And by the way, guys missing free throws. Anthony Davis.
Oh, Anthony Davis missed the free throw, right, at the end. That could have changed fortunes. Yeah.
You know, Reeves
Russ, by the way, Russ got a delay of game that cost them, too. Let's not forget that.
It's kind of like one of those
LeBron
things
LeBron going 2-for-8, you know, was not great. Even though he got that layup at the end to kind of put them back in front. I mean, that despite that, he was not a good player last night in the fourth quarter.
Those two buckets that he made were both buckets driving to the basket, bullying his way to the hoop, which is what he should do when he goes cold. I don't get it, man. If you're so smart and you know that you've gone cold and you say there's no lasers on the team, including yourself, find the big man.
Well, the big man needs to be down there, though. The big man was, I just told you, was floating on the perimeter.
Well, that you and I have had this discussion. He should never practice a three-point shot because he should never take a three-point shot. So are you blaming him being on the perimeter on him, or are you blaming that one on Darvin Ham?
That's on him, I think, more than anything else. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Ham took the fall for it, but I don't think it's all on him either.
Listen, last night was a disaster. You know, just when you were starting to think, maybe they're getting it together.
Yeah, and by the way, Ireland also made a great point during crosstalk. The defense stunk. At the end of the day, they, even despite the complete collapse, they had a 2-point lead after LeBron's layup with under 21 seconds to go. And then that last play, you know?
Crazy. Just crazy. I'm literally sitting on my couch last night going, why am I watching these last 10 minutes? This game is so over. 17-point lead. You can't lose. 3-3-3. Missed shot, LeBron. Where's AD at? You know, comes off the bench like, uh-oh. Hey, wait a second. Lakers got to call a timeout. Here comes AD back into the game. Okay, well, what did that do? That was a bad loss. Listen, that's probably the worst loss of the season, and there have been many. That's probably the worst one of the season.
All right, let's talk about good things. Let's talk about the U.S. men's national team with our guy Dave Denholm. Of course, the World Cup show each and every night here during the World Cup at 8 o'clock. He's going to be on there. So let's make sure to talk about some positive stuff, all right? We'll talk soccer with him next. That's like you and me. You slowly drive me insane.
With that much passion, too. Give it to me. Come on. Yeah.
Because you ain't around.
Sometimes my man Alex Toussaint plays some Mary J.
You ain't around. Yeah. You're always with Rachel. You can't even hang out, watch a game with us on Friday.
I know. I feel really bad about that one.
Yeah. Not really.
Should have gone to the Notre Dame-USC game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's the one I really feel bad about.
Yeah. You wanted to be where the people were at. Like, everybody would be like, ooh, you went to that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely would much rather be at a place like the USC Notre Dame game, like a place to be seen.
Right.
Like, did you see Keyshawn there?
I did see Keyshawn there.
Like, Keyshawn shows up looking like he's a movie star, like, yo, what up? I'm in the house because it's a game of that magnitude.
Right.
That's the one I should have gone to.
Number hanging in the, you know.
Right. No, no. But I would have just walked in like, yo, I'm in the house too, even though nobody would have cared that I was in the house.
Right. Keyshawn wearing a lot of beads these days. He's like Chris now.
I noticed that.
A lot of wrist beads.
Yep. Yeah. Lots.
I text Key and I was like, yo, you've been hanging with Chris too much, bro. What's wrong with you?
What'd he say?
He wrote LMFAO.
LMFAO?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So.
He's balanced.
Yeah, he is balanced. Dave Denholm, I don't believe any of us were balanced. Of course, you can check out the show each and every night during the World Cup. Of course, he's the voice of the LAFC, Dave Denholm. Road to the Cup. Nobody had balance today watching that particular match, Dave Denholm, with the U.S. men's national team. How was your viewing experience, and what did you make of the strategy and all this potential subs that they had to make and the Pulisic injury, obviously?
Yeah, I was a wreck, no question.
Same.
The older I get, sports are a lot less fun as they're happening. But they're great when you win, right? I mean, as they're happening, it's just miserable, it feels like. But what a relief. Yeah, great tournament so far. Yeah, I mean, people criticize Greg Berhalter, the manager, for some of his, you know, whether it's swapping out guys out of the starting lineup or players he hasn't really played a lot of or substitutions. But all he has to say is scoreboard, man. We're moving on from a tough group. We're into the round of 16. I mean, you can't really argue. I liked some of the moves. I questioned some of the other ones, and certainly I'm honest about that, but he's been right. And the U.S., you know, they played stellar defensively. The midfield has been dominant, which we haven't seen in previous World Cups, and we're putting teams on the back foot, unlike what we used to do, where we kind of absorb a lot of the games and then hope. We're the better team in these games so far. I mean, that's just a great sign. It's been fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And Dave, explain if you could, for the soccer novice out there, myself included, how the U.S. seemed so aggressive on the offensive end in the first half, and yet Iran was able to turn up the heat on their offense in the second half. Because late in the game, obviously, it looked like the USA was trying to just, like, hold on, right? I mean, you're bringing people back and you're trying to hold on. But can you explain the difference between the first and the second halves?
Well, the first half, we need a goal. We have to win the game. Certainly that plays a factor. And Iran knows that they're likely to get through unless something crazy happens in the other game with a tie, with a draw. So Iran's a great defense. They have a great defense. They're the best team in Asia. And they figure, well, we're going to absorb the pressure as long as we can. And thankfully, the U.S., Christian Pulisic, put it on the line. As George has said, he put it on the line for us and got the goal. So that changes everything, Sky. You know what I mean? Like, now Iran has to come out of their shell. No, we don't want to play defense for 45 minutes. But, you know, a team like Iran's going to throw the kitchen sink at you in the final 25. And that's what makes it so tough to watch at times. You can't open yourself up too much. Yeah, it'd be nice to get that second goal. Don't get me wrong. You know, like, just put the game away. But you also can't take too many chances. It's very, you know, it's very cat and mouse, very chess game. You know, there's a lot of strategy going on with the managers and moving players around and subs and everything. And it just worked out. Now, again, it's a whole different story. You guys know, in any sport, if you do it, if you complete, you know, what you're trying to do, and if Iran nicks a goal late there, we're all miserable right now. And we're saying it was a failure. So the margins are thin when you play that way, but the U.S. pulled it off.
They absolutely did. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, let me ask you a question. Obviously, the Netherlands is the next matchup, I believe, a 7 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. What do you make of their chances against them? Let's just say, for argument's sake, Pulisic plays in that match.
Yeah, he had tweeted from the hospital a picture. They actually took him to a hospital, and he is going to be ready, he said. So he will be ready for Saturday, at least, you know, right now. That's what he's saying. Let's hope that's the case. You're right. Look, I don't expect much different. The Netherlands have played okay in Group A, a decent tough, you know, decently tough group, and they've looked good. The Netherlands are a tough team. But if people who don't know, maybe who don't follow the game, the Netherlands didn't qualify in 2018 like we didn't. They failed in the World Cup. So they're kind of getting back to it after an eight-year absence.
Yeah.
And they've been hungry. You know, they're a hungry team. They have a great manager. He's a very good tactician. He knows what he's doing. Louis van Gaal is one of the best managers in the world, in my opinion. So it's going to be tough. And they've got great players. But, boy, I think, you know, if we play like we've been playing in the midfield, I like our chances. I don't
yes,
think we're
Dave.
A certain – You know,
yes. Wait, Dave.
Can I push back a little before, you know, Scott, who doesn't watch any soccer, waves the flag and goes,
here comes the expert. Here he comes.
No, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, and you are 100% right. They didn't qualify in 2018, but they were a Final Four team in the previous World Cup. Yes.
Any of those players still on this team?
No, there might be one guy.
Maybe, yeah.
No, I don't think there is for the Netherlands, frankly.
But historically, they've been a good country, yes.
Oh, sure,
yes.
Sure. Absolutely. I take nothing away from the Netherlands. Look, yes. I mean, everybody will look at it on paper. It's the dreaded on paper. Well, they should beat the U.S. Well, if you've watched these matches, the United States has been dominant in the midfield. England's midfield, one of the most expensive in the whole World Cup, the three players. They're great players. U.S. bossed them in the midfield for 90 minutes. It wasn't even close. So if the U.S. can continue to play well, my concern is the Netherlands will be way too comfortable defensively against us. We're not creating a lot of chances. That has to change if we're going to beat the Netherlands, no doubt. And again, we're a slight underdog. Make no mistake. But I believe we can go. If we can beat the Netherlands, I think we can beat anybody. We can go a long way in this.
I thought you were going to say, I believe that we will win. That's what I thought you were going to say there.
You tell him, Dave. You got to believe, Dave. Look.
Well, look,
I don't know
I'm
anything
guy,
about the
Scott,
Netherlands.
I'm a guy, Scott, that, look, there's no country in the world that we haven't beaten in soccer, right? There's no team out there that we haven't beaten in the past. Are we better than Brazil? No, of course not. On any given day, can we beat them? Absolutely. We can win this whole stinking thing if it goes
our
way.
Yes, Dave.
But I also knew we could lose to Iran today if it didn't.
No, Dave.
You know, if we didn't
no,
play well.
No, Dave. No, Dave.
So we're a kind of team that, we are definitely a top 15 team in the world, no question about it. We deserve to be in the knockout stage of the World Cup. Anything can happen now, guys, when it's one and done.
Let's go. For sure.
Dave, I love, though, that, you see, George is right. I don't watch for 4 years, so I don't know. And so when everybody tells me the U.S. has no chance against England, I watched the whole game. We dominated that game and should have won that game. When we play against the Netherlands, I don't know if the Netherlands is great because I haven't seen them. In fact, I have never seen them. But I know that our guys are given everything they got. They're empty in their tanks. They're sacrificing for one another. And I believe that we will win.
I love you. That's all I got to say, Scott.
Well, I love you too. Hear that, George? You hear the love, George?
Yeah, I love you, adjacent Scott.
I know, but you hear that?
Yeah, but listen, and I actually think this is a great building block, regardless of the results Saturday or beyond. I think that this is an incredible building block for this team. They're the youngest team in the World Cup. You know what I mean? Like, this U.S. team has finally potentially arrived at a place where we can feel good moving forward. I know there have been other instances where we felt good and then there's been huge disappointment the following World Cup. But this feels different because I just feel like it's been a long, slow burn, and I think we're there. So quickly answer that, and then I have one question about tomorrow's slate before you go.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know your stuff, George. There's no doubt about that. You know this game.
He's an expert.
But you know how unpredictable it can be. A-hole. What I try to tell people, too, who want to follow the U.S. during the World Cup is you know, pay attention to the draw in April because it does matter. Now, you don't ever want to look too much ahead, but the U.S. got a good draw, not only in their group. I felt the matchups were good, even though it was a tough group. But in Group A, we will now play. They weren't that tough. You know, the Netherlands is a good team. Make no mistake. You know, Senegal proving to be a pretty good team. I wouldn't have minded playing any of those teams if we get out of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's still been a pretty good draw for the U.S. Would I have wanted to play France on Saturday? Not particularly, no.
No,
you know, especially in the round of 16 when they're just getting rolling. Yeah, but you know what? You're going to have to beat good teams to go anywhere. But George, you're right. You're building on something as we host in 2026.
Right.
We've got now time to, like, really be confident building up. Not just like, ooh, can we do this? Where are they? These guys are young, they're hungry, and they're only going to get better. Right. I really believe that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's where we're headed. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Last one here for you because we got about a minute. We don't have much time. We're up against the break here. But Group C, I like to call them Group Chaos because of everything that's transpired there with Poland, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, and Mexico. Obviously, big matches tomorrow there in that particular group. How do you see those particular matches playing out?
I think they're good. It's a good matchup for Mexico against Saudi Arabia because there's still a lot of pressure on Saudi Arabia to not blow that big win against Argentina. You know what I mean? Like, everybody thought, well, they beat Argentina, and now Saudi Arabia is going to get through. Well, not so fast. Mexico is the kind of team that can create some chaos, and they just haven't done it yet. I don't know if El Tri is going to go three games without really kind of exploding. I sense they have a big game in them coming up for this one, but it might be a mountain that's just too big to climb because Poland can really play Argentina tough in the other match, and frankly those two could both get through depending on how the results go. So if I'm leaning towards it, I do think Poland and Argentina still probably get through with maybe even Saudi Arabia pulling off a surprise, but I think Mexico, it's just going to be a little bit too big of a mountain to climb with all the things they have to get over in this match and this tournament. It's been a mess for El Tri.
Yeah, and you think Argentina wins? They've woken up now? Like, the beast has been awoken?
You know, even if they don't win this match, I think the beast is, you know, because Poland will defend a lot, but I think Argentina is going to be tough to knock out in the knockout games if they get there, and I think they will. I think they'll get to the knockout stage, probably win the group tomorrow, in which case they're going to be difficult, right? No doubt.
Yeah, and then one more follow-up on Mexico, because I had this conversation on Twitter with a lot of the fans, and my question was, because I don't follow them as closely, even though I know enough about how great they are defensively, but offensively, they lack a lot of punch. And I feel like politics get in the way, and I mean that in regards to the way the players feel about the Mexican Federation and the Mexican Federation and the way they feel about these particular players. But the fact that, like, guys like Chicharito, who I know is not an initiator in regards to, like, scoring goals, he's kind of more of a junk goaler, I get that. But Carlos Vela, obviously, who you're intimately familiar with, hasn't played for the Federation in a while as well. And I feel like both those guys would be huge in a tournament like this, even at this stages of their careers. I think they'd be incredible for them.
Yeah, I don't say it lightly. If they had those two in this tournament, they would have won the group. I believe that. And it is just that simple. Now, they also had an injury to Jesus Corona. Tecatito got injured. That hurts. But they don't have that little just that little bit, you know, step of class up in this group and with Tata Martino. And some of his decisions have been head-scratching too, don't get me wrong. But they don't quite have that touch of class that Vela and even Chicharito in the box could provide. I think that would have been all the different. Now, that's a whole different animal. You're right, George. There's too much politics to go into in this minute we have. But it is a shame because I do think Eltree would have still been very difficult and would have likely, well, based on the fact that Argentina stubbed their toe, I think they would have won the group.
Yeah, and I think those two would have complemented each other so well because of what you said. Vela's got that little extra juice to him, and obviously Chicharito in the box is incredible, particularly off rebounds, things of that nature. So
the best players for Eltree still play in Los Angeles.
There you go. That's actually that's a fair point. Cappy, did you learn anything there in that conversation?
I love this conversation, Dave. I know we got to hustle up, but man, I got to tell you, I was so surprised to learn about all these players from the U.S. and not one MLS guy. Is there something to be said there about MLS?
On
or
the
just
starting
maybe
11, you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Today, starting 11 because Walker Zimmerman, a former LAFC defender who now plays in Nashville, they brought him in late in the match and wanted to use Cameron Carter-Vickers for a little more possession and passing. Zimmerman will probably be right back into the starting lineup. And there's plenty, you know, Kellen Acosta for LAFC played off the bench.
Yeah.
There's plenty of guys who started in MLS too, Scott. They just go to Europe at a young age now too.
Yeah. All right, Dave Denholm. Of course, the road to the cup every night here during the World Cup. Catch it here at 8 o'clock tonight. Thank you, Dave, for joining us.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Love you guys. Thanks.
Right,
appreciate it.
There you go. All right, we're very late to the break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.